Pull up a chair and join us at the table this week for another episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice, a tabletop role-playing podcast.
Welcome back to Paper, Pencil, Dice. Hey, Tony, let's take it away.
All right. Thank you, Chris. All right, so welcome back, everybody. Let's see here. Who would like to tell us what happened last time?
Oh, does the guy that smashed the console want to start us off here?
He didn't so much smash it as he kind of threw fire at it.
I threatened it a little bit.
With fire?
Yeah, with fire. With a little flames. And it didn't like it, so it turned, you know, defensive procedures number one on. Then we got some automations come at us, and, you know, a big old centaur automation started coming at us from down the hall.
Automaton, not automation.
Thank you. Automaton.
Automaton.
Then we had...
We had a glorious battle.
Glorious battle and skill challenge that we technically failed and then succeeded, which is pretty cool and awesome.
And normal.
Yep. We had our normal rounds of rolling ones and twos. Rolled a double two, that was awesome. And then found that some friends came to help us out, Teak and Master Ganthus. How do you say his name?
Yes, you don't know Master Ganthus. Only Hup knows Master Ganthus.
I don't know if Teak is friends.
Yeah, that's fair.
Teak is acquaintance.
Yeah, acquaintance. But we did manage to stop all of that. And then as we stopped it, it rebooted it and said, hey, welcome. And then we stopped.
Okay, so before we jump into today's action, after the events of the last combat, everyone gained a level. So between the episodes from last week to this week, everybody leveled up their characters. So as far when you level up your character in Pathfinder 2nd Edition, you gain your class's hit points. So every class has a certain hit point amount they gain every level. So everyone gained that level of hit points. Additionally, at second level, or at every level, everyone's proficiency rank goes up one. So everyone's proficiency rank went from 1 to 2. And then furthermore, every class at every level gets at least one feat. Rogues, in a lot of examples, gain more. And also, we'll come to Hup last on how rogues specifically handle that. Because they also gain other things called skill increases, which we'll cover when we get to that point. But first of all, let's go to Tegan.
Mm-hmm.
What feats did you gain this level?
I got a sorcerer feat, so I got a familiar. This is the thing that I've been talking to the whole game, but I haven't been able to do anything with them. I got the opportunity to do two things with them. I could do a regular ability and a master ability. So the regular ability I picked was fly 25 feet, and the master ability I chose was spell delivery. So now my little devil dude can fly and deliver my flame, which is pretty awesome.
Okay.
I also got a feat of bargain hunter.
It's a skill feat. What skill does that apply to?
Skill feat applies to diplomacy, and when you're going around, you're hunting for bargains, you can actually earn income when finding bargains, or if you want to use it on one particular item, you can get an awesome deal on one particular item if you use that to search like a city or a town or something like that.
Very cool.
And since I was mercantile lore, that made sense.
That does make a lot of sense. Okay, and since you're a sorcerer, I think you most levels you're going to get a new spell. So what spell did you pick this level?
Magic weapon. It's pretty awesome. It allows you to touch a weapon and make it +1 to attack and +1 to strike. So if it's a 1d8 sword, it now becomes a 2d8
right.
sword.
So yeah, it makes it a +1 striking weapon. So that means that if it was already a striking weapon, it doesn't add anything there. Or if it was already a +1 weapon, it doesn't add anything there. But it will add both of those things if one or the other is missing.
So pretty awesome.
Yes, very. I honestly, as someone who's been playing Dungeons & Dragons and Pathfinder 1st Edition for a while, the magic weapon spell in 2nd Edition is way better than it was in previous editions.
Yeah.
All right. That all the things that you added to your character?
I did.
All right. So, just...
I like his Prime Day bargain hunting skill. Every day is Prime Day.
Every day is Tegan Day. All right. So, we will go with Jethal next.
Yeah, so I gained a skill feat. I took Charming Liar.
Okay, what does that do?
It is for my deception skill. It basically allows me to charm. Your charm allows you to win over those you lie to.
Okay.
So when I get a critical success using a lie action, the target's attitude will improve one step, as though you'd succeeded at using diplomacy to make an impression.
Very cool. All right. Do you get any others? You gain other feats this level too.
No, right? Other feats.
Oh, you don't get a class feat?
Nope. Okay. Those are, yeah, not this time.
Did you get any new spells?
I did get a new spell. I picked Command. Basically, that allows me to essentially command a creature to do one of, I think, four things.
Mm-hmm.
I can command, one of certain things. I can command it to approach me, run away, release what it's holding, drop prone, or stand in place.
Oh, okay. So, like, simple one-word commands that has to obey, yep. Essentially. Okay, very cool. All right, was that all the options you chose this level?
Yep, that was it.
All right, Aether?
For me, I have fighter, so therefore I get a fighter feat and a general skill feat. And I chose Brutish Shove.
What does that do?
That allows me, when I use a two-handed weapon, to essentially shove the target and make them flat-footed if I succeed.
Okay.
As long as the target is my size or smaller.
Is the weapon you're wielding two-handed, or is it not two-handed?
I have a falchion, which is a two-handed.
Okay, perfect.
Yep. So it doesn't work, of course, with a longsword, but it will work with a falchion. And then for my general skill feat that I chose Courtly Graces, because Aether was raised in the capital of Thaeldrun. His mother was a diplomat, and Courtly Graces essentially says that you were raised among the nobility and know proper etiquette and how to act, their bearing and how to present yourself, know their games of influence and politics and all that sort of thing. So you can use society to make an impression as a noble, as well as impersonate a noble. If you were
very cool. All right. Was that all the options you chose?
Yep.
All right. So next we'll go to Hup. Now, rogues are a little bit different because you get a skill feat every level, which this everyone else got a skill feat too. But the other thing is you gain a skill increase at every level too. Can you, Hup, do you want to go ahead and explain what a skill increase is?
So a skill increase allows me to take an untrained skill and move it to trained, or move a trained skill into expert. I can also move into master and legendary.
Yes,
master. At certain levels.
Yeah, master is 7th and legendary is 15th.
So I actually took a skill increase in thievery, so I moved to expert in thievery. And then I have a rogue feat that I took, which was minor magic, so that allows me to take two cantrips from any of the schools of magic, occult, arcane, etc. I took from the occult and took detect magic and light for that.
Okay.
From that that school, but not a school of magic. It's a type of magic or class of magic.
Yeah, it's an origin of magic.
An origin of magic. Thank you. So I took that, and then for my my class skill. From my rogue feat, I took Wary Dismemberment, which allows me to take some advantages when I disarm traps. So I get a +2 on the save if the trap explodes on me or whatever.
What was the name of that feat again?
Wary Disarmament.
Okay. Because you said Wary Dismemberment.
Well, that too. Well, yeah, I think that sounds better anyhow.
Because that's generally what happens after you fail the trap.
So I'm just leaning back when I lose my hand. Yes, Wary Disarmament.
Okay.
That's not losing an arm. That's actually
right.
Disarming. Okay.
No, dismemberment is losing an arm. So.
Right.
All right, and then, okay, so you took those...
I get a +2 on AC or saves against devices or traps. I trigger when disarming.
Very cool. All right, so... Wary Disarmament to prevent Wary Dismemberment. And so was that all the options you got to choose this level?
Yeah, so I took the... I had to, Wary Disarmament... requires me to be an expert in thievery to take that. So.
Okay. Which you qualified for.
I qualified for because I took that extra feat.
That makes perfect sense.
Skill increase.
Yes. Makes sense. All right, and then did you get a class feat this level as well, or did you not?
I did get a class feat. That was the minor magic.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I took the two cantrips.
Okay, perfect. So, all right, well, everyone is at second level. So we will dive back into the action again. So, yeah, they successfully disabled the computer system, or, you know, what the large machine that Tegan had angered by shooting fire at. Though in the conflict, Master Ganthus came up as along with Tegan and made it back up to the group.
Teek
and Ganthus came up. It appears, based on the way that they're walking, that Investigator Teek led Master Ganthus here. So, what and why, you'll have to find out. But shortly after you shut down the system, you heard it say, "Welcome, boot sequence initiated." And it's just kind of seems to sit there, and you hear like buzzing and popping noises and things like that. But none of the automatons seem to be reanimating at all. So Master Ganthus walks up and goes, "Are you all okay? Oh, Hop, are these friends of yours?"
"Yes, Master Ganthus, what are you doing out of the city of Nipik?"
"Well, there was, I felt that the disturbance was a much bigger threat, and also once I came to the city, I ran into a small, frantically running around goblin who explained to me that he had run into you, and had led you down into this area. And based on my recollection, I had great concerns about what you were going to run into, specifically..." And he points at the console. "That."
"The console that I just disabled?"
"Yes. You, there is..."
"Yeah, you."
"Yeah." You and your dice absolutely disabled that console. But, no, so there's a lot of things that are...
"It seems pretty straightforward. Just click on the buttons and it turns off."
"Right."
"Yep.
That's exactly right.
That's how it
works. That's how these things work." But yeah, so the I know a little bit about at least some of the things to do with this console from past adventures, shall we say. So I wanted to come and help out because I felt that its defensive protocols probably would destroy you as soon as I heard it. I got here just in time. The other automatons that I animated further down the hall I was able to disable as well before I got up to the larger one just before you. So, so what's it doing right now? I thought you disabled it."
"Oh, we wrote a new boot sequence for it."
"What's a boot sequence?"
"Well, it's how you put your boots on, obviously."
"Oh, well, left then right, or right then left?"
"Right, exactly."
"All right."
"Absolutely."
After you guys have that conversation, you hear it say, "Self-test activated, searching for installed nodes."
"Yeah, it's been doing things like that."
"Right. So, do you think that something bad is going to happen if it finishes booting, or?"
"I think as long as we don't attack it again. I think that's..."
"Well, who attacked it the first time?"
"The little guy."
Hup kind of does that whole palm up, pointing towards the palm, with the back of his palm pointed towards
I very
Tegan.
Much am pointing at the little guy.
It's all just straight points at him, like, "That guy.
That guy."
"I had it on good information that this particular contraption would be the death of the world. So I felt compelled to end it."
"And look how that went."
"I may have been wrong, but I think my information was good."
"The fact that he was talking to himself.
Does that bother anybody else?"
"Right, because it looked like to us, it looked like he was talking to himself." "Yes."
"Yes."
"Yeah.
Are you not from, are you from Nipk? We have a lot of people that talk to themselves from Nipk."
"No, I'm not from Nipk."
Well, Tegan's bag starts moving. Like, his backpack starts moving and the back flips up and a little head pops out. And this thing goes... He, like, taps Tegan on the shoulder. "Tap, tap, 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 tap."
"Yes, what is it, Smoofle?"
"Do you know who that is?"
"No, Smoofle, I've been looking for Master Ganthus. Is this Master Ganthus?"
Yeah, this is Master Ganthus, the master. Master, 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 master.
The master? Your master?
Well, not anymore. You're my master now, but he's the master.
Master Ganthus, can you see him? Can you see Smoovol?
Yes, can't it everyone? The rest of you look at and just see like his backpack had flopped open and there's nothing there.
I mean, he's got rats in his backpack.
Don't have rats, I have Smoovol.
Your pack just opened up.
I have Smoovol.
Might want to look in that.
I don't trust you.
It's just Smoovol. He's just, it'll be fine. So if you're the master, then you created Smoovol?
He looks at him and goes, create's not quite the right word. Freed? He goes, freed, enslaved, yes.
Enslaved?
Well, yes.
Potato, potato.
What Smoovol responds with. Potato, sort of enslaved, potato. But willingly enslaved. Happy enslaved.
Happy enslaved.
Happy enslaved.
All right, well, Master Ganthus, I need to learn more about Smoovol and some of the strange powers that have come over me since Smoovol's arrival, so I need to...
Hang on a second. So, you... He points at Smoovol and goes, work for him, which means... Wait a second. Are you, like, distantly related to me?
Yes. Probably. If you're the master, then I would say, yeah, probably.
Man.
Distantly.
Wow, it's been a while since I've been out in the world. Wonder, how many generations away are you?
At least 5 or 6.
Wow.
What are you still doing alive?
Oh, well, that's a long story. That's a story for another time. I've been living in Nipk for quite a while. Nipk has special properties, shall we say. So.
Okay, so when this boot sequence comes back, was Smoovol right? Are we going to move? Is it going to come back and attack us and destroy us all?
Smoovol's like, I didn't say that.
You said it was bad.
There's another voice in your head that says, no, I said it was bad.
Oh. Awesome.
So he has a three-way conversation.
And yeah, Smoovol responds back to a third voice. So you guys actually are hearing Smoovol's voice. You just can't see him. Oh, so there's okay. Something in his backpack that's talking. That's invisible.
It's a talking backpack. It's sweet.
But he goes, yeah, what he said. He told you, not me. And this Smoovol is talking about someone else who none of you heard.
Great. Master Ganthus, I've got a few things I'd like to work out, if you have time.
Certainly. I have plenty of time. At that point, then you guys hear from the console, searching, searching, searching.
Should we be getting out of here?
So, is there anything visually happening on the console, or is we just hearing this audio?
You're hearing audio, but if you look at the actual screen, it reads out the text of the same thing it's saying.
Gotcha.
So it seems to be broadcasting auditorily the same text that's displaying on the screen. And it says, node search complete. Node report. Scorpion node, absent. Centauran node, present. Cygnus node, absent. Volan node, absent. Draco node, absent. Installed nodes located, 20%.
So... should we be trying to destroy the console, or are we trying to repair it, or what are we trying to do? It's housing this creature that could destroy this plane or planet or something like that. So, should we be trying to destroy it? Should we try to run?
Searching for contained specimens. Found one specimen. Specimen version 1.27 found. Analyzing log history. Analyzing. Previous history... reported. Breach prevented. Analyzing future. And it goes silent again.
Is there a way we can do a check? I think maybe it's talking about the...
Well, the Centaur is here.
The containers that we were in the other room, right? Weren't there containers that had creatures
in
them?
Yeah, yeah. So it's only got 20% of the creatures. 80% of them are gone. But I'm more worried about the containment field. Did the big baddie get out, right?
Well, Master Ganthus is here to help us all.
Master Ganthus, well, I don't think it said 20% of the creatures are here. It said 20% of the nodes were found.
What are nodes?
Generally things that are installed into it. He goes, look over here. So this is the part that I know. I don't, honestly, all this specimen stuff and whatever this thing is, I'm not really sure, but these I recognize. And he walks over to the side of the console where that yellow gem is.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, this is one of five stones.
It says yellow orb. We had thought of yellow orb, right? That Teak was looking for, or that...
Right.
The orb of power we found?
Well, there was an orb of power that you found. You found the pyramid that should have been mounted on.
Right.
But there's a console here that has space for five things to put into it. And there was the yellow stone, which is what Tegan had fired at.
Yeah.
And then there were four empty spaces.
Okay.
He goes, my guess is that these four spaces are those other nodes it was just referring to as absent.
So can we take the yellow node?
I don't see why not. Although...
Does it need the nodes to contain the baddie? The big bad dude?
I feel like...
Well, it's not doing a very good job at it because it only has 20% of them.
I feel like...
No, it only has 20% of the nodes installed.
Right.
So that means... One...
One of five.
One of five is here.
Yep.
So he points to the yellow one. That's one.
Yep.
Then he points to the other four and goes...
Not there.
Missing.
Yep. But don't we need the yellow orb to go to the pyramid?
No, this isn't the yellow orb. This is a yellow...
This is the yellow gemstone.
Yellow gem.
Oh, yellow gem.
And the orb itself wasn't yellow in color. It was the gem here that's yellow in color.
Okay.
The last time we heard that there was a...
Was it a yellow orb?
Glows yellow.
Okay.
I thought that was... I described it as the gem glowed yellow and the orb just glowed light.
Gotcha.
That may have been my mistake as Dungeon Master. But no, the orb itself glowed just with light, just white.
Gotcha.
Light.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, so the computer system says previous breach was prevented. Analysis of feature completed. Artimatter spawn is currently still isolated. Estimated time of Artimatter escape processing.
Does it respond to us? Respond like does it voice? Does it seem to respond to our voices? The computer?
Not so far.
Okay.
So maybe we have to get those other orbs to help it contain the Artimatter.
Yes. I think so as well.
I think that's probably an accurate assessment.
My superior intellect tells me it is.
Oh, no.
Your superior intellect is obvious.
I'm not yet sold on the fact that whatever is containing is utter evil. Xanthus didn't have any idea.
Just mostly evil.
Well, the ship is made of flesh and other parts scavenged from, you know, it doesn't sound like something that's particularly good. So, does Master Xanthus, are you aware of the whatever is being contained here?
Well, based upon what that said, it's the Artimatter spawn. I saw something as I was walking down the hall, below the grates in the previous hallway, that there appears to be something that's contained there.
Is it? Do you get a sense of that it's evil, or...?
I don't have the ability to sense intent.
Will that be a... There's not a sense motive in here. What is that now?
Well, I know paladins can sense evil, but like...
There is a... I believe it's underneath... Is it underneath diplomacy? No, it's under perception is where sense motive is.
Oh, okay. You want... We can try to do this... Perception check?
I mean... It kind of seems like, you know, some evil's being spaceship if they've got just full of skin and bone and all that stuff containing. So does that mean it's just containing some other greater evil, or is it containing something good? You know.
Oh, that's fair. I'll do a perception check to see if I can sense something down in the grates. I'll go over to the grates.
Okay.
Is that a 20 you just rolled?
Oh. No, he just opened a box of dice.
9.
Did you roll good? 9.
That's 9. It, 9. That's all I got was a 9. Modified.
Oh, modified. Oh, okay.
If the dungeon master has not seen the dice and I ask if it's 20, you can say yes.
Yeah, that's not how this works. Good try, though. No, so you go and look at the thing, and this is like this, honestly, this oozing blob contained by like bone and flesh.
Didn't this like give us headaches or nausea or something when we looked at it last time?
Yeah, a little bit. So,
oh, crud.
I mean, you look at it, you kind of get a headache a little bit, and you're just like, my head hurts. I don't really know if it's evil or not, but my head hurts.
All right. Well, okay. Somebody else want to try?
Stuff. Yeah, I mean, I can do a perception check, see if there's anything. Let me see. That is a 17.
17. Yes, this is likely more, not so much evil as it is just chaos is probably what this thing is.
Okay, so its actions are probably not motivated for its own purposes. It just acts just because it acts.
But it'd still be bad for us if it got out.
Okay.
So we should probably try to keep it in.
Eh. You know, kind of depends on your worldview.
And the computer system speaks up again and says, boot sequence completed. Awaiting props.
Props?
Prompts.
Oh, not props.
Not props. It's not waiting for the bard.
As the bard comes through with a sousaphone.
Kind of a crate full of stuff.
Wow.
All right. Oh, man. I'm imagining that.
Hey, now. Phil Connors.
Yeah. What is you came in from the other game. Anyway.
What does the screen look like now?
It appears to have a three-quarter or two-thirds of a triangle and then a blinking horizontal line next to the two-thirds of a triangle.
I'm gonna go up to the thing and try to, is there an interface? Left?
There's not much of one. You kind of destroyed most of the other one, but...
The escape's keys there.
It might take verbal commands.
Okay. I don't even know what to call this thing. Oh, was this Artimatter?
Yeah, this is Artemis Spawn.
Artemis.
So like predict locate, impact of Artemis Spawn or something.
Locate missing nodes.
Searching.
Oh, nice.
Searching. Located nearest missing node. Scorpion gem. Location is at orientation 270.
What is 270?
It kind of like draws like a rudimentary map on the screen. You can kind of see, after a little bit, it's just kind of like slowly drawing lines across the screen repeatedly.
Is it some features that we would recognize?
It takes a little while before the map makes any sense. Because you don't really see, like the city itself just shows this kind of terrain. As far as this thing goes, it doesn't seem like the system does a very good job of differentiating cities from landscapes, but eventually it has a detailed enough map that you can pretty much tell that there to the west is where it would be.
Like how far to the west?
Distance.
Probably anywhere between, your guess, based upon the map, would be probably 3 to 4 days travel by horse.
Okay.
Master Agenthus goes, I think I know that city. That is probably the city of Nishtun.
Nishtun?
Nishtun.
Nishtun?
Yes.
Nishtun.
Nishtun is it's a city that's, let's just say it's all people who are transient people. Very few people live there. It's ruled by a certain rogues guild, which I would personally prefer never to get involved with them again, but they are known as the Dread Crowns.
Is that near cartoon?
No, it is not near cartoon. What?
Seems
been a while since we played together, Mark.
So we want to locate the other.
Yeah, locate other gems, I guess. Let's have it go through the list of gems here.
Locating. Search estimated to take 300,232 seconds. Would you like me to begin?
Yes.
Be back here in a few years.
That's like 3 days. It's 1 million seconds. So it's like between three and 4 days, I think.
Well, we got to figure out where all the other stones are.
What were the other node names?
They were the Centauran, which is here. Mm-hmm. That was the one that was detected as present. Mm-hmm. The Scorpion, the Cygnus, the Volan, and the Draco. And Master Ganthus goes, well, I can help you out in a few ways, but it probably also would be worthwhile for someone to stay here and try to figure out more information from this console. So...
Are you... volunteering?
I'm happy to help. I mean, so let me tell you a little bit of the history that I have with these gems.
That'd be great.
So there was... Well, let me just say that my past is, shall we say, checkered.
Kidney.
See, I'm not the only one.
You joke, but there was one time when I probably would have said that to a kingdom. I didn't walk the noble path previously, and I made enemies, and there was a party of adventurers who rose up and attempted to dispose of me, shall we say. I had made some unsavory allies, such as... What, Snoofle.
You got a Snoofle?
Exactly.
Snoofle. So Snoofle is one of millions of followers I once had, but, yes, I forsook those ways long ago. But this party, I remember each of them were in possession of a stone of power of some sort, and I knew not where they received them from, but it appears obvious now. But those stones appeared to have a way of changing a person. It's also why I also don't want to go with you, because should I be in possession of one of them, I don't know if I would fall back upon my old ways.
So the changes are always bad?
I'm sorry?
The changes are always bad?
I don't know. I don't know if they're good or bad, but if one of you were to become corrupted by one, I think the ramifications to the world would be much less than if I were to be.
Hup kind of crosses his arms looking a little insulted by the whole.
Helps disposable.
So... Do you think these adventurers took the orbs with them, or...?
I know they used them when they fought me. Where those orbs exist now... I mean, based upon my apparent age and how long I must have been in the city of Nip, I don't know how long ago it's been. Time... By my recollection, it's only been 20 to 30 years since I went there, but... If you are 5 or 6 generations removed from myself, mm-hmm. I should have been long dead.
Or you're from a race of rabbits.
That's yes. Well, we are gnomes, so we're not known for rapid reproduction.
Could have been weeks.
5 weeks ago was my great 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 grandmother.
So this computer needs those other four gems of power. We got the location of the first one. How do you tell us where the next one is? Do we have to come back here?
Well, it says it's running a search right now for the next gemstone, and it gave me an estimate of a lot of seconds.
Yeah.
A lot.
Well, so, but we don't want to have to come back here. Is there a way you can communicate us and tell us where the next location is from where we're at?
I can, not right now, but I can work on something while I'm waiting.
Smoke signals are.
Okay.
Smoke signals don't work very well underground. I appreciate the idea.
Okay, well.
Hup's arms are crossed
again. Waving.
That, I mean, from across the hall, underground works well, but.
Okay.
But I would recommend returning here. I will work on something that I can come up with to be able to traverse or communicate over long periods of or long distances better, but I don't have anything right now. I do have this, and he holds up a small horse statue.
Okay, I'll take the horse statue.
This probably will be able to get you there, but it will be a day or so before you can come back. So, a few days potentially. If you activate it, the statue, don't activate it here, please. you can create a horse. It's a magical construct that it spawns out of the statue. It will last you for a day. However, you can create two horses instead that will each last for half of a day, or four horses that will last for a quarter of a day, and so on and so forth until you have horses, a field of horses that lasts a few seconds.
Can you hang it on like a necklace type thing?
If you could probably rig up like a small harness and a necklace type thing if you really wanted to.
Hang it like a horse.
It's quite a statue.
Nice. So
I did not see that one coming. I walked right into that.
One more edit for the home team.
No, we don't edit that one out. That one's pretty good. I tend to try to avoid those jokes though. Like, but I walked into that like a spider web in the darkness.
Like a spider web on Hump's face.
So if we do a, you know, four horses for a quarter a day because there's four of us, how long does it take to recharge so we can do it again?
Well, you'll be able to activate it once a day. So after you rest for an evening, so in theory, a quarter of a day, the four of you can travel for 6 hours by horseback.
Okay.
Rest and get back up and continue on.
So it'll give us, we can probably get there in a couple of days rather than three or four.
Likely, yes.
Okay.
We have two elves, a gnome, and a human. The elves are pretty light, right? Elves are pretty light compared to like
elves humans. Elves are definitely lighter than humans. Yes.
So if you had two elves on one horse, a gnome and a human on another, that's basically the equivalent of just two
that's fair.
Good-sized humans, and you could have half a day.
Cool.
Hey.
All right.
I'm not riding in the back.
Master Gathis, do you have any other ideas or trinkets for us?
Look, the horse will have an ass in the front and the back.
Oh, let's see. What do you know about these gems?
Almost nothing.
Let's see.
I think one's called like the Sinish, the one's the Scorpion, one's the Volon, and one's the
Tricosius. Well, how you just told us that?
I know that.
I did some research once on these gems. Unfortunately, I was unable to determine what they do, but I was at least able to determine where they originated from. These gems are thousands of years old. Some of the oldest and most powerful magic items known to, well, even their kind. But as far as I know, These gems originated from the city of Arinthanor.
Arinthanor.
Oh, Arinthanor. I do know that city, but that city was destroyed.
Destroyed by what?
I think it was destroyed by the elven artificers that lived within it. It was a city that was used, that they essentially gathered there to kind of do great inventions. There was a lot of experiments done there, and the city was destroyed. Not everybody's sure, but we always assumed it was the high elves, or the seer elves, that lived there.
So let's see, the Arinthanor created the Artem matter that holds the Artemis spawn.
No, Artem matter is what the spawn is.
Oh, what spawn is? Oh, okay.
I don't know if we know what this computer system is called.
Oh, okay.
No, Artem matter is the spawn. That's what it was referring to when it was booting up.
Mm-hmm. It just seems like there's a lot of common language here.
You probably use a lot of arithmetic.
Arr.
Arr.
He started it. Right. Actually, you started it.
Okay, so they created these. I'm guessing they created these machines.
Yeah, they were artificers. That's what they did. They're inventors and experimenters.
These are the ancient elven artificers that I've heard about. They pushed the limits of magic well beyond what was considered safe or even sane at the time. They experimented in any way, both humane and not. They're some of the most powerful artifacts to still exist today are from the elves of Arinthanor.
Well, it makes sense why the ship is using flesh to heal itself, then.
I don't think this ship is of elven origin. The power cells are, these gems that power it. But I don't think the ship is of elven origin.
Okay.
Are the gems powering the ship, or the gems powering the container?
Well, the gems are powering the computer system, I believe. I think there was... you had said there was another gem that was actually powering the containment system. Or, I'm sorry, no, these are powering the containment system. There was another one that was powering the ship, I believe. Wasn't there?
Oh, the one on top of the pyramid?
The orb.
Yeah, I think that is the power cell for whatever this structure is.
Right.
Do we have that orb?
No.
Or is...
I think Teek has it.
He goes,
"Oh yeah, it's right here."
All right, so we can turn the ship back on. So why don't you give that to Master Gantha so he can figure out?
Okay, here you go.
Master Gantha goes, "So where do I put it?"
It goes in the pyramid.
There's right? A pyramid, yeah, and a structure to the south of here in the caves.
Okay. Let's. So the whole group probably walks there, I'm guessing. Yep. He puts it in there, and before you got to the pyramid, you walked past the large crystal structure again that you saw that crystalline construct in front of, which that crystalline construct is not there. You do see crystalline fragments on the ground.
Okay.
Is the crystal that had the crystalline entity within it?
The crystal that had the crystalline entity within it appears to be there, but the crystalline entity doesn't appear to be doing anything right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you make it to the pyramid. Master Ganthus has the orb and goes, "Who would like to do the honors?"
I'll do it.
So he hands it over to Tegan.
Climb up the pyramid because it's twice as tall as I am and put it on top.
Place it on the top of the pyramid. It kind of levitates between the four pylons on either side of the pyramid.
Hup slowly kind of leans away.
Yeah, that's something dismemberment feat you took.
Right. I'm going to use my new light cantrip just to kind of light it up as he puts it up there just to freak him out a little bit.
I seem to remember Hup is always stealthing.
Yeah, right. Always stealthing.
Always.
So you put it up there and it powers up, and that large crystal that you saw in the previous room as you walk towards this begins to glow.
Okay.
Doesn't appear to do much else, but it appears it's functioning now as a...
In a friendly way or a ominous way?
I mean, it's not like red glow. It's like a sort of pleasant blue glow.
Okay. Like... The music didn't change when that one
was. No, you do not hear combat music playing.
Okay. All right, so, and since the machine that we passed by that you fought, Master Ganthus, was a centaur, we can assume that whenever we find the scorpion, we'll probably find a scorpion artificial.
If these things prove correct. I don't know enough about this to accurately tell you what will or won't. I'm fairly certain that if it's in the city of Nishtun, that the Dread Crowns are likely have something to do with it by now. They pretty much own that town, so...
Maybe they have a Scorpion King.
Maybe.
Wow.
Maybe.
So, do you know anybody
Scorpion Queen. There you go.
That's a good way into the Dragon Crowns without getting our heads lopped off?
They're the Dread Crowns.
Dread Crowns, thank you.
Tegan just goes... Tegan has the strategy of, I'm going to listen to half of what you say and assume the rest.
Like every gnome out there.
Yeah. What he said. I got it all. Don't worry. So, yes, as far as into the Dread Crowns, at the time there was a leader of them. His name was Lord Two Swords.
Only two,
apparently, yes. Well, yeah. But he was a master assassin. And he was one of the adventuring parties, but if enough time has passed, as I think, hopefully he's no longer in control of the Dread Crowns.
Okay.
But I honestly don't know. You'll have to find out for yourself, but,
okay.
Based upon the history of the Dread Crowns, likely a descendant of his, probably still owns the guild unless they've had some sort of a coup. Either way.
Is there a way to magically track these gems?
I don't know. I can try to figure something out. What would you like me... I can work on different things here. I can create the method for remote communication. I can create a tracking mechanism for these gems.
The tracking mechanism is probably best.
Yeah, it's up to you. I can build whatever you would like me to build.
The console seems like it...
Knows where to track them.
It just takes time.
Well, I'm just saying, once we leave here, we just know it's 3 or 4 days west. Right? It'd be nice once we get into the city to be able to track down the gym.
Right.
And know where it's at.
Near field. I get it.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be even more important than finding out where the next gym is.
If you could create way to track the gems, make a way for us to communicate, and make me a roast beef sandwich.
Alright, so you have three requests there. Which one would you like worked on first?
The roast beef sandwich.
Alright. So, if you travel to Nishtun, when you return, I will have a roast beef sandwich for you.
Spectacular. With a side of remote communication.
Roast beef sandwich with a side of remote communication.
Well... So how long would it take you to do the tracking mechanism? Because maybe we should just take a day and you know, get some gear and then start off early in the morning tomorrow, if it'll only take you a night to...
Probably. So honestly, it's each of these things has a different kind of signature. With only one of the gems to study currently, it would be difficult to figure out what the signature of the rest would
okay.
be.
Fair enough.
My assumption, and this is an assumption fully understanding these, if I could easily come up with, probably in 3 or 4 days, a mechanism of remote communication that we could use magically. If I do that, then once you bring me back the second gem, I can study those two I come up with a way to potentially track the rest by seeing the differences between the two gems.
Okay.
And then from there, if you need me to work on something else, I can. I am no elf of Arendthanor, but I can invent a fair number of things. I generally tend to work on one thing at a time. So.
Okay. Cool. You have any magical trinkets that would help us on this journey?
I give you the horse.
The horse, cool.
Of course.
Well, we can also go the city that we're it's even Incanavis. How large of a city is that? I mean, is it a fairly significant metropolitan area?
The city of Incanavis. It's a medium sized city. It's probably somewhere around 3,000-4,000 people.
Could you use your Prime Day to find us some equipment?
Oh yeah. But you gotta tell me what Prime it is. Day.
Yeah, it's
Black Friday. Yeah,
the skies are blackened and everyone's running around panicking.
But he's finding great deals.
That sounds like a Black Friday, actually.
That's the time to find the deals when everyone's running around in a panic. Yeah, everyone is running for their lives, and Tegan walks out and goes, "Man, it's shopping time."
There's 30,000 customers and 4 TVs on special.
5-figure discount.
Can we pick up magic items? Can we pick up magic items?
You can absolutely pick up magic items. And,
I mean, it's not that big of a city that we could go find things like that.
And Master Ganthus goes, "Well, actually, I don't have much other equipment, but if it would help, I can give you some money that I have."
Perfect.
That would be awesome. Is there anything from
we could sell the yellow gem?
Can salvage?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Is there anything from the ship that we could salvage that would be worth any coin?
This is pretty unique metal. I've never seen this type of metal before. If you could take it, I mean, maybe it's worth something. I honestly don't know. I don't know what you could do with it.
All right, well, let's take a truckload of it.
should I palm the yellow gem? Should I palm the yellow gem?
Palm the yellow gem.
Take the containment snow. Oh.
And then run. Very quickly.
Because the world's fixing to die.
I'm going to take the node, replace it with an onion.
It was a yellow onion.
All right, cool. Let's take some metal. Let's take some money from Mr. Ganthus. Thank you very much. And let's go shopping.
Great.
All right. So I think you guys will, you leave, Master Ganthus. The amount of money he gives you is 500 platinum pieces.
Oh,
whoa.
All right.
And he says, "That's almost all the money I have."
Almost. I want to use my skills and see if there's any a little bit extra.
Thanks for the 500. I'm going to take the rest.
This is going to end so badly. You're going to try to steal from a master.
From your own teacher.
What better way to prove my worth?
Wow. As a rogue. Can we do this like a different, like in between games rather than with all the horses?
I think he should allow it.
So if you guys, if we split up the money
every time,
let's just split the money up. You guys each take 100 platinum pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Does that work?
No. That leaves 200 for you. How do we just bank it like we always have, Mark?
It's Hup's Prime Day.
Right.
Hup Day.
Hup Day.
I find the bar. Yeah, that's
probably the name of this episode is Hup Day.
Hup Day. All right, so we got 500. That'll be awesome. I don't think we need to take the metal. Honestly, I think if we can't get what we need with 500 platinum, we probably do something wrong.
Well, I think we take some of the metal and take it to an armor and see if they can make special weapons out of it.
Okay. Sure. That's cool.
You'll give them 3 days.
Go ahead.
Yeah. By the time we get back from the first place.
Probably actually give them like 6 days because you have travel there and back.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Let's fill up our packs.
Okay.
With some unearthly metal.
So you collect enough of the, you know, there's metal fragments from the ship, especially from the damaged automatons that you're able to get. Like you very quickly realize the metal that's in the wall still is nearly impossible to break off the wall. Like you try swords and anything else, and it just doesn't even scratch it.
Mm.
So this is very, very hard and durable metal. But the scraps that are already damaged and broken off of the wall are pretty easy just to gather up in your bags and haul away.
Is it super light, too?
Yeah, it's like for its durability, it's much lighter than you would expect.
I could probably make a round shield with this and have a star on it.
Nice. Throwing a hammer with it and move on. It would be great.
Gelkin was here. Was Gelkin here?
Gelkin has not. No. Okay. Tico's. Ah, no. I was supposed to give that orb to Gelkin, but I hope it suits it better here.
Yeah, okay. Ganthus was the one that came with Teek.
Not yes, Ganthus did, not Gelkin.
Okay.
Yeah.
You guys thought it might have been Gelkin when he had the hood still up.
Right. Yeah, we were a little worried there.
All right, okay. So you guys go out to find a blacksmith here in town and also maybe shop for Tegan's Prime Day.
Prime Day, yep.
All right, so you guys leave the area, you get back to the...
How do we get up out of the hole now? Our way was cut.
You did have a rope that did get cut, yes.
Well, Master Ganthus must have had a way down. So, right. Yeah.
He probably...
When you get back there, you finally walk. You walk back the rest of the way. Or?
Yeah.
So yeah, you find a full rope ladder that has been strung up.
Oh, down. Okay. Teak probably had in his pack.
He just carries around a rope ladders just
everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yep.
I mean, that's the kind
helps
of guy
helps with his investigations.
That's the kind of guy Teak is. Helps with his quick escapes from his investigations.
Yep.
So, yeah, you go out and go back up the hole and go shopping. And we will find out what happens with your shopping next time. Thanks for listening to this episode of Paper Pencil Dice. Come check us out on our website, paperpencildice.com, or come visit us on Facebook. Leave us any feedback or questions you might have. Join us next time to see where our heroes end up on Paper Pencil Dice.